A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Friends, welcome. It's warm, cozy, a COVID-free zone, and Raymond Domenech is not invited, but you are. It's the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday, the 5th of January. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
So we're not saying the C word at all for the rest of the show, if that's all right, because we deserve a break and to have a lovely time.
What, champions, you mean? Because it is very hard to define them this season, isn't it, Kate?
Yes, great point. Any other C words you're going to bring to the party?
None that I'm going to say out loud. I'll just leave the main one outside.
Okay, yeah, good. Leave it outside, in the breeze, with the windows open.
There are kids listening against their will.
Are there?
Yeah, well, there are dads listening to this podcast. There are kids around. And, you know,
and
you don't want to be dropping
well,
C-bombs everywhere. Mums as well.
Lots
absolutely.
Of mums.
Yeah.
Yeah. Glad they should be recognised.
Yeah, well, I don't want to drop a C-bomb in front of them either.
No, fair enough. We could always bleep it out, I expect.
Exactly. You know what I'm like outside the studio? Effing, Jeffing.
Yeah.
Cuffing, I suppose you'd say.
No, really? Would you? I'm not sure I've ever heard that word before, Jim, but I liked
it's
it.
It's new.
How are you feeling? You feeling cosy, Andy Brassel?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Very much so.
All right.
Well, there's so much football. You feel like swaddled all the time, yeah. Don't you? It's nice.
Yeah.
Like
every
wrapped up in the warmth of the league table. Almost.
Yeah, that's right. Having a little sort of, you know, pre-midnight cuddle with Valencia versus Cadiz last night. It's beautiful.
There's so much football that you feel like if for any reason a game was called off, where the hell would they stick it back into the schedule? Oh, but surely they'll have thought of that. Surely that won't be a problem.
Well, one thing we know is there's not going to be a circuit break in the Premier League. So, yeah, you're right. They must have some really good plan for where they're going to put it.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be on top of it.
Yeah, no, I think so. I don't have any suggestions anyway. But if I did, I would have thought them through before the start of the league again and before 2021, when frankly, I don't feel like the league table exists at all anyway yet. And for the champions who are top of said non-existent league table, a humbling at St Mary's last night, 1-0 South Bloody Hampton.
I tell you what, it must be a nightmare. Do you still get league ladders in Match and Shoot? You know the little sort of cardboard things with the slits on when you shift them about? Like, it would get completely buffed and dog-eared, wouldn't it?
Now.
Yeah.
Already by now, it would be eroded away.
Well, what they give away in Bild, I think it is in Germany, is they give you like a metal version of that with magnets.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, that is brilliant.
Can you, do you get it? Have you got one?
Yeah, I've got one, but I've got one from two seasons back. So, you know, you sort of get like sad little voices in your house going, Daddy, what happened to Darmstadt?
Oh, bless them.
Yeah, so that'd be, I don't know, what would be your equivalent nowadays?
Just the internet. You don't need it. That's a sad indictment of the things people used to do for entertainment, isn't it? Calculate your own league table.
You know what? The internet will never replace magnets, Jim.
Yeah.
Never.
God, you're such a cynic. I'm well up for this. I hope you're not actually mocking this amazing game.
No, I think it's cool, but I just think it's one of those things that will have fallen by the wayside by now, isn't it? Because we're all busy trolling each other.
Like pens and paper. I've still got a pen. I still write. I still send Christmas cards, unlike you guys. Thanks, by the way. Anyway, Southampton managing to defend Danny Ings' second minute unbelievable cross come goal for the full 93 minutes.
Are you saying he wasn't trying to score from that?
I think only, like they always say, only Danny
so
Ings.
So much football has made you cynical.
Yeah, you are jaded,
Danny Ings,
Kate Mason.
Afterwards,
come on.
Because Carragher asked him afterwards and he sort of thought he was talking about something else and then did like a knowing chuckle. I don't know.
No, it looked like a training ground move to me.
Yeah. Wasn't it more, only a defender would ask that.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
I think it was.
The goal was like, just in case anyone hasn't seen it, it was like, do you know those plastic popper things that you, okay, that's not a face of recognition. And you put it on the desk and it leaps up.
Right.
Yes, it was like that. That was the delivery of the goal. And it didn't seem to me like he necessarily intended it. But I don't give a shit. It was amazing. And it was his fastest goal in the Premier League, Danny Ings, against his old side, in case you haven't heard.
It's a funny one, though, isn't it? Because if you look at the raw fact of that, like Danny Ings scoring in the second minute against Liverpool, you would think, actually, if there's ever a time for Liverpool to concede, that's it, that's fine. Maybe fired
agreed.
Up with the next play.
I thought they were going to punish him.
Exactly, but they just didn't seem to have the legs. And it wasn't just the legs. Like they just looked a little bit out of ideas.
The brain cells.
And completely. They just looked a bit sort of mentally tired as well, which is the last thing you expect from this Liverpool side. And it was said in the commentary that Trent Alexander-Arnold had given the ball away 38 times. And I thought that was a mistake. I thought that was for like the season. 38 times in a single game.
Yes.
But, I mean, how off the boil can you be? That's unbelievable from him. He's a fantastic player, obviously. I'm a huge, huge fan of his. Mm. But like that shows that there are some tired legs out there.
Everybody.
maybe the brain and the legs of some players at this stage aren't communicating that well. And that's like across the Premier League because they have played so much football, everybody, already in a truncated time. And it's going to start showing,
26 games. That was their 26th game and it was Southampton's 17th, I think, so far this season. But it did surprise me that they... Because I was at work, I was at Sky last night watching it with Franny Benali, you know, doing the updates. A Southampton man that even Luke Moore would struggle to dislike.
He's a lovely fella. £1 million for charity on his own. Raised £1 million for charity by running on his own.
Bloody legend.
Amazing man.
And of course, at 8 o'clock when the game kicked off, was the Boris Johnson announcement about the C word. And so the only person in Britain who was cheerful, as far as I could tell, was Franny Benali, who was sitting off to the side watching the goal go in. And I was like, what the hell is going on?
The announcement
from
the C word.
Very, very soon. About the C word, mm-hmm. James. Yes. So it was actually quite endearing. But he was saying, you know, surely the aim is not now to try and defend this, but they did some incredible defending. Every time I looked up, Jan Bednarak or Jack Stevens was just like sliding in to block a sort of shot from Liverpool.
They've got a lot in their locker like that, Southampton, haven't they? Mm. Hasenhüttl has got them as playing as a little bit of a Swiss Army knife sort of team where they can pull that out if they need to. And obviously, a lot of the time, they suit being the better team almost, the team that are going to be on the front foot, the team you'd expect to win. But it's very impressive and mature, actually, of them that they can pull those sort of performances out as well. And actually, they've got quite a good good age range in that squad, haven't they? They're in a really, really good moment, which is amazing when you look at when Hasenhüttl took over. I know he's been there a while now, but they were fighting for their status, really.
I love how they're in a really good moment, been absorbed into English. I love it.
Well, Klopp says they're in a rusty moment. Yeah.
Rusty moment. That sounds like someone Donald Trump would be paying hush money to, doesn't it?
Another one of these Americans that's renames themselves at the age of, what was it, 3? Yeah, it's true. And also Fraser Forster, guys. Nice to see him back in the Southampton goal. I felt like he had a great game, despite the fact that I actually haven't looked this up, which is poor, but I feel like Liverpool had a very, very small number of shots on target.
Yeah. One on target.
Jesus, was it?
One on target, and it's pretty late as well. Which, as Jim says, is absolutely remarkable from Liverpool, really. Yeah. I mean, I think we have to bear in mind a couple of things. One, no one is consistent. And what you were saying about the table before, Kate, is an absolute indicator of that. It's just, I think more than ever, we overreact to moments in football at the moment. Because this result means Liverpool's season's gone down the toilet. The fact that Manchester United are in touching distance of top spot means Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's a genius. And maybe actually none of these things are true and everyone's just trying to stay afloat.
Yeah.
But I think the fact with Liverpool specifically, the injuries they've had and the areas they've had them in, it means they've had to recalibrate the entire team behind the front three. Mm. So say, for example, if you're sitting down to the match last night, you look at the formation, you're like, hang on, who's the defenders and who's the midfielders? Mm. It is difficult to expect consistency and coherence from them after that, I think.
And it's to their credit that actually we do expect that because they've been so good at it with personnel changing. But I mean, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Thiago coming back in there, that's quite different from the midfield that we've seen from Liverpool for most of the season.
So and they've not played a lot of football.
No,
And that has a massive impact against a team as athletic and organised as Southampton.
Yeah. AOC was quiet. We don't call him that, do we? And and Thiago was lumbering at times.
Yes.
He had an early yellow. I thought Klopp was going to take him off because he looked in danger to me.
Yeah, and he's someone who, you know, people don't say this because, you know, he's of the sort of stature he has with Bayern, but he's still adapting to the Premier League. Yeah. I mean, he's played a handful of Premier League games, and he's someone who needs rhythm. And you know, he's not someone who I think I always had a little bit of a doubt about him coming to the Premier League just because he struggled to stay fit for pretty much all of his senior career. You know, he never plays more than 20-25 games a season normally in the league. Mm. So a league where you're going to, you know, let's be honest, get kicked a lot and it happens at 100 miles an hour, I think is quite difficult. Again, I'm not doing one of these conclusions that we were talking about 2 minutes
ago. We're going to play this back.
He's a bust. It'll be on loan to Augsburg by the end of the week. I just think, you know, you have to be reasonable and patient and not... reasonable, patient. You guys take it away.
Come on, don't be ridiculous here. Did we like... So Ralph Hasenhüttl in tears on the side. So he came back, he was allowed into the ground, I guess, after having been self-isolating after his wife, I think, tested positive for COVID. And his reaction afterwards was pretty... So I don't know about you, but because they were defending and also still looking for goals, I thought, with Southampton throughout the game, it was quite like a draining emotional experience if you're watching it from a Southampton perspective. And afterwards, he was crying, right, wasn't he, on the side? He was like down on his knees. Now, I thought that was like Southampton fans I saw on the internet and spoke to, they seem to love him and see it as though he's really like engaged with everything the club stands for. But, you know, it is just one game. What did you make of it?
I think Diego Simeone goes through that every bloody week.
Yeah, that's true.
I like it. I mean, obviously, it's been an emotional time as well. Like having isolated over Christmas, I'm sure there's more to it than just the context of the game, like the things that are happening in his life as well, and sort of being able to meet up with the squad again. And actually, there's probably a concern. If you're a manager of a top-level side, you and your team are micromanaging everything. If suddenly you can't be around them, and then they beat the champions after scoring in the second minute, you're going to be so proud of that and so just relieved that the system is still working, I suppose. So I guess it's just spilled out like that.
Is it just maybe a sense of relief that it's the first time that Southampton have got a result in the last year and a bit that no one's mentioned that the L word The L game.
I don't know what that...
The L word? Oh, the Leicester game. Yeah.
Don't say that.
Sorry, the 9-0. They have been mentioning it. What coverage were you listening to?
You're right. It has died down, hasn't it? Because to the point we didn't even... But we didn't recognise it immediately.
The L word, no. But if you just said the one with the 9... Okay, anyway.
So I don't want to say it. Every time I hear about it now, I feel like being sick out of my nose.
Okay, please don't be sick.
I'm just tired of it.
We don't want any bodily fluids in here. No. Thank you very much. I mean, it could also be that Ralph is very much in touch with his emotional side, because apparently he likes to play the piano the night before every game in the team hotel. He says, when I'm in a good mood and I want to treat myself, I play difficult songs. Otherwise, I play easy ones because they give me more joy and I'm less angry about not being able to do the right thing.
I love less angry. I'm not angry. There's always a quiet fury simmering away somewhere, but the piano helps me keep the monster at bay. Now,
he likes Queen, Elton John, and Take Five by Dave Brubeck, apparently.
See, some of my favourite pianists are serial killers, but I can't imagine that... like someone who's particularly on the edge would play any of those.
No. Yeah, also as well, you know, I don't stay in hotels that often, particularly at the moment for obvious reasons, but it's very rare that there's a piano in a hotel when I stay there. So
well, not clearly, a Premier Inn anyway.
Yeah, well, quite. But do you think this is part of the Southampton hotel booker's remit?
Sure, it's his rider.
Yeah, there's got to be a piano in the hotel, even if it's like 30 miles out of the city.
I mean, we're talking about the fact that when all this is over and we have our freedoms, we're going to cherish them like never before. Maybe we should get a pianist in a Premier Inn.
Yeah.
Maybe there should be pianists in travel lodges and stuff like that.
Maybe we should get a piano here. Let's get a piano here. Right. If you're listening,
we should have a band, like on some sort of like late night show where they just have a band in the corner.
Yeah. We definitely should. I really enjoy the idea of Hassan Hootel sitting there like some little jazz pianist in the corner.
Yeah. I've got a little Yamaha. I'll bring it in next time we're allowed.
Bring it in.
The thing is, if we were to get a drum kit in this studio, like whoever our hired drummer is would be absolutely exhausted. Can you imagine the amount of ba-dum-tsh?
Oh my God. Yeah, I think Pete would, if he was here, would be bringing up his, was it grade two?
He'd have invented his own instrument and brought that in.
He's a violinist. He's a virtuoso violinist.
No, that's you.
No.
You're getting mixed up.
Are we talking duets here? Oh, yes.
Get the piano. That's what we want. What this all means for Liverpool, this defeat, is that, so they're still, it's written in the running order, but thankfully it's in inverted commas, because otherwise I would get pretty pissed off. They're currently joint top with Manchester United. But because of all the cup competitions and various games going on, if United get a draw against Burnley in their next game, by the time Liverpool and Manchester United meet next Sunday, Manchester United, ladies and gentlemen, we top of the Premier League.
I hate to say this, but I do feel like if Man United won the Premier League, just everything would go back to normal. It might be worth it, as much as we'd all hate
but
it.
Would,
as neutrals.
Would at the point of the trophy lift, Solskjaer like grab his face under his nose, pull the mask off, and it's Sir Alex Ferguson?
Yeah,
that's what would happen,
and
isn't
then, it? Then he pulls that mask off, and it's David Moyes. I'm like, you're happy now?
We'll get a bit dystopian here. Come on, people.
That seems incredibly improbable.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say incredibly likely. In the current context, I think it does.
I meant that David Moyes would win the title generally, but hey.
I mean, we have been saying that this could be a season where, you know, there is a surprise, and I think Man United have dropped into the position where it would be a surprise if they won it, but why
not? Lucky little underdogs, why not?
You could argue they're better.
They can dream.
They're better at winning games without playing well than anyone in the Premier League.
That's very true. And they're in good form, and they're actually, they seem to be pretty united as a squad, don't they? Which has not been the case there on many, many occasions in the recent past. So they're in with a good shout of it, and it'd be interesting to see how they react to that, if they do actually start to lead the Premier League for a while, because we've not seen them in that situation for a while. It used to be that was what their default setting, that they were used to that, they were comfortable in that, and it'd be very interesting to see. I mean, Liverpool have already dropped more points than they did in the whole of last season. I know it's a strange season, and they were exceptional last year. So that was always going to be the case at some point, I'm sure, but it seems quite early for it.
That's their second defeat. It's the one last night, and they've only won 9 games so far this season.
And one away from home, right?
Yeah.
That is, Man United-Liverpool is going to be an absolute destroyer of barns. not looked forward to that game for a while, really, but it should be great.
A barn exploder.
Yeah, a barn annihilator.
I actually think burning a barn would be more dramatic in some respects than exploding a barn. Because there's like the initial kind of building up, and then there's the big conflagration, and then it dies. And there's more phases, is what I'm saying. Whereas an explosion, boom, you're done.
Yeah. I guess it's whether we're talking about
bits of barn from all over the place for days. It's not quite a stark reminder of what's happened.
Yeah, exactly. Just still steaming. Although I guess it might. I don't know. You look like you had something incredibly insightful to say about that, Annie.
Oh, no, definitely not.
When it comes to analysing barns, Brassel, finally, we found a weakness. He can't count and he doesn't know about barns. Oh, Brassel, you've let us all down. All right, so you're backing exclusively Manchester United to win the title, Jim.
Yeah, why not? That's what I said.
And yourself, Andy?
Well, I think I've taken Southampton.
What?
Well, we're just saying crazy stuff. We're just spitballing, right? I've no idea.
Yeah, it seems impossible to make any kind of reasoned suggestion.
It's fun though, isn't it? Like, it's genuinely a really fun, exciting season because I have no idea who's going to, like, joking aside, absolutely no idea who's going to win the league.
No, it is funny how, like, sort of Spurs were thought of as it could be their season. Mm. Like 3 weeks ago. So yeah. Don't roll your eyes like that.
Sorry. It's the audio medium.
It's the Premier League's fault.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Manchester United season, which had been talked of as a car crash for the first couple of months, now they're in the spot.
Yeah.
We're all assuming, I guess, in the back of our minds, if we do have the sort of synergy that I'm thinking of, that Liverpool are going to find it within themselves to pull away at some point. But yeah.
It's just the fact they couldn't score goals in the last three, Liverpool, which is a slightly odd situation.
Even Chelsea have got the talent to put it back together
Chelsea
and go on a run.
Chelsea aren't going to win the title. Are you kidding me?
No, they probably aren't. But can you definitively rule it out?
Yes, I'm ruling it out now. And they were my title winner prediction at the end of last season. So.
You see, that's a lot of flip-flopping there just in that sentence.
Spite my own face here.
If Man City win their two games in hand, they go top as well, so...
Oh, bloody hell.
What, rebuilding Manchester City?
Well, quite, yeah, exactly. So,
with their increasingly casually dressed coach.
Yeah.
Hard to read.
I mean, someone didn't get any Stone Island for Christmas.
He's smarter as he gets up the league, I'm sure of it.
Oh, do you think so?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if they were in a relegation battle, which I doubt we'd ever see, but in that hypothetical reality, he'd just be wearing his pyjamas. It'd be like you, Kate.
Do you I'm think not that wearing would... my pyjamas. This is an audio medium. And you absolutely fucked me over there. This is a very smart, checked shirt, I'll have you know.
Yeah. Do you think that would be the way of bringing order to the current chaos that is the Premier League? Like, the coaches have just got to start dressing smarter. Mm-hmm. Imagine Jose Mourinho starts dressing 2004 Jose Mourinho.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that says to me Tottenham title winners.
I agree.
I agree too.
You'd want to see that, wouldn't you?
Definitely. I don't need these tracks.
Ditch
Jose.
Ditch the dad quarter length zip top. Yeah. Ditch the gilet.
No.
All of that sort of business. Just get in a nice suit. Bring the coat back. Get a black tie on.
Where do we stand on what are they called? Tie pins? Is that too much?
I think... It depends on the manager. I think Jose could wear that very well. Big Sam, it's just going to look odd.
Mm. So you wouldn't make them all dress, or would you? You'd make them all dress in fitted suit?
Well,
that's not the term, is it? What do men call it?
Presumably now, Jurgen Klopp's like club shop gear is actually attached to his skin.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he is a walking advert for Liverpool merchandise.
This is what they do with Guardiola as well, and I think it's a bit undignified when they sort of effectively turn them into models for their hoodies.
Yeah, well, if he's up for it, why not, I guess. Yeah. Okay, so basically, we haven't got anybody that we're particularly backing for the title because we don't want to look like idiots again. Mm. We wouldn't want to make that happen, would we?
We're happy to look like idiots, but in different ways. Yeah. just not connected to the title race, right?
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. And Liverpool already stoking the embers of that forthcoming barn burner by going on about all those penalties that Manchester United have been awarded. But that's a story for another day.
It's a story to deflect from another story.
It is a lot of penalties, though. I'll switch your keys.
It is.
Now, guys, just before we go to a break, just wanted to give a little tiny shout out about Apple Podcast reviews. If you are enjoying the show, please would you do us a big favour and get on your podcast provider. Leave us a 5-star review. It's got to be 5. I don't make the rules. It would mean such a lot to us and to the team. And we're hoping to have a fucking good laugh over the next few weeks and months, despite the current situation. Yeah, we'd love it if you'd support us in these dark times. All right, let's get to a break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week on Stakhanov.
Join the self-care club as they trial out all those January health kicks. Listen as they put themselves to the test with Couch to 5K, Dry January and loads more.
I think that evening was probably the closest you and I have ever come to having a bit of a Barney, which we didn't
really
have, but we nearly had one. It could have tipped into Bruges.
And why not check out the latest episode of Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy, where Roberto Martinez reflects on the highs and lows of his managerial career and the lessons he's drawn from 14 years at the top of the game.
When you're a young coach, you almost feel that you want to answer every doubt or every question mark that there is surrounding your position and out there. And then the older that you get, you understand that you cannot stop that. It's impossible. You need to affect the headlines of tomorrow. And that's the real power of working in football and being the manager.
All that and a whole lot more at Stakhanov.
I've got a little one.
It was just banter. I know that, John.
Clever.
Never gets old. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, which also never does.
You know what? I listened to the year best of while I was doing some task at home over the Christmas holidays. I completely forgot like Jules's best moment. What? Well, not Jules's best moment of the year, the Ramble's best moment of the year. And I was, you know, when you're doing one of those laughs where you're like snorting out of your nose.
Yeah.
And
yes. Yeah. Yeah, I heard that you pulled some pretty serious strings about getting that Luke's Game episode not featured in the best of. Andy Brassel. We need to do some emails.
No, I thought.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Fish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, or Marcus can read it out. Well done.
Stuart McKeown has been in touch.
Brassel is seething.
You are a tyrant on the buttons, mate. Tyrant.
So Stuart McKeon has been in touch, and this is following yesterday's email about a glitchy bit of commentary on FIFA Road to World Cup 98. And Stuart says, I have a very clear memory of playing a football game on the infamous GameCube. I can't for the life of me remember its name, but my friend Adam, who owned the game, assured me it was very good. However, they couldn't use anyone's real names or real footballing terms for some reason.
That's mad.
It seems.
Does that mean
terms,
true?
He says. I soon discovered what he meant. Upon every single bloody event in a match, a new mystery commentator would loudly proclaim what was happening over the already existing game commentary. Some of these terms included kick corner, throwing it, kick, spot kick, member change, which was genuinely said almost like a question, can't pass there, kick it off. Please, someone remind me of this chaos. My only other real memory was Beckham was called Paul Baxter. And if you took a free kick with him, it said, Bax with the kick in. Brilliant, isn't it? So, yeah. If anyone knows what that was, on the GameCube, get
member
in touch.
Change, presumably.
Was a substitution. It's quite an old arcadey thing to have, like, just a sort of disembodied voice just saying stuff that's happening. But over actual commentary as well, that would be very, very confusing.
Does it not just sound like it was originally done in a second language and translated into English very badly?
Yeah, like
so maybe it's originally a German game or a Japanese game or some such.
Member
almost
change.
Almost certainly.
Member change.
Yeah, there's all kinds of fun that happens with mistranslated video games and things like that. Like, all your bases are belong to us is a very old famous meme. All your bases are belong to us. It'll pop up at some point.
Kick it off, Andy.
Definitely. This one's from Fergus McNamara. On the subject of footballers' names that stick with you, I'm still adding Tognon to Alessandro Del Piero's name in my head 24 years later. Here's the paragraph from the Wikipedia entry for FIFA 97. The pronunciation of certain players' names would change depending upon whether they were performing attacking or defensive duties, such as Roy Aitken being referred to as Aitken. Akin? Akin?
Or is it like ache in?
Oh, maybe. anyway, if he made a tackle or a clearance.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah, that ache in. Yeah, that would make sense, actually. Yeah. Similarly, Alessandro Del Piero, who was called Del Piero Tognon on the game, was referred to as Del Piero Tognon, followed by a small hiccuping noise when he performed a tackle.
Great.
Firstly, when is Alessandro Del Piero performing a tackle? You're playing the game all wrong.
I guess maybe he does hiccup when he tackles. We just didn't see it enough to know.
Yeah, that's
is
true.
It, is it one of those full name things? You know, like when Kylian Mbappe came out. In fact, he made his debut at Tottenham, didn't he? For Monaco when he came on as sub. And he was at that point. He wasn't Kylian Mbappe. He was Kylian Mbappe Lottin. So it was Mbappe Lottin. Everyone thought it was a bit fiddly. Well, presumably Mbappe thought it was a bit fiddly.
Yeah, not so good for branding.
And got rid of it. Or it's like, you know, in Spain, when John Toshack was listed on official papers when he was the coach of Real Sociedad and Real Madrid and stuff as John Benjamin Toshack. And so they actually got rid of the wrong one. They got rid of Toshack and he always got referred to as John Benjamin all the time.
That really sounds like his mum is telling him off about something, doesn't it?
Yeah, his Spanish mum.
Is there anything special? Is there anything? Oh, that's a whole other route. Is there anything special about this FIFA 97 apart from that it's a bit shit? I haven't played FIFA.
Well, okay. What you would know if you were familiar with the games is that FIFA 99 is the absolute peak. Mm. Alan Shearer, when he scored, would go and play air guitar by the corner flag.
Classic. Mm. It's also the year our production assistant was born. So, you know.
Also, so I don't know if this would have changed by then, but certainly in FIFA 95, around that time, that was before they had the licensing. So, like the players, there was a Brazilian player called Gianco Tiano. He was basically Pele. There's a German player called Brian Plank, who was just an absolute goal machine as well. And I do long for those days. But it was very different in the 90s FIFA games. They weren't quite what they are now.
And you didn't
have to have an engineering degree to do a fucking square pass in the box, for example.
I guess fake Pele wouldn't have had an Instagram account back then.
Yeah.
Look it up, guys. Yes.
He has added a detail about the number of goals he scored to his Instagram bio and it's wonderfully petty.
Also, the global ambassador and humanitarian was always there.
Yeah, well, quite, you know.
Goes without saying.
Pele, wind it in.
Oh, guys, that's...
Don't wind it up.
Yeah, what are you talking about, Jim? That's not what you mean at all. Send us an email. These have been some absolute crackers. Show at footballramble.com, or you can also tweet us at footballramble. But, you know, sometimes when you put the effort into an email, it's more likely to get read out on the show. I don't know. Yeah. I don't make these decisions.
Let us know if you know what that GameCube game is. I want to know more about it.
Yeah, so do I. Now, Andy Brassell, we're just about to get into a special segment. It's Pete's dog. Is it eating? No, it's about Raymond Domenech, your best friend. He has got a new job and he's been warmly welcomed. And why not? He's arrived at Nantes. He is the Prince of Nantes. And
isn't he a bit old to be a prince?
Well, ask Prince Charles, I guess.
No, I suppose. Burn! Royal burn!
So, yeah.
If anyone was going to do a royal burn, it was going to be Mace, but...
So look, are you still not allowing members of your family to say Raymond's name in your house? Or yes. Is that passed now that he's employed again?
You have been betrayed by the running order here, Kate, because it's not me who wouldn't allow his
name. Yes, it's you.
It's Mick McCarthy.
No, Mick McCarthy loves him. He thinks he's the best guy ever.
Kate, are you telling Andy
Mick,
he doesn't
Mick
know the
McCarthy
details of his own life?
Wouldn't let Roy Keane's name being said in his house.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Well, Mick McCarthy loves Raymond Domenech, so why would he not want his name said in the house?
Oh, no, I'm saying there's a bit of confusion with the Roy Keane story.
Oh, right. No. All right, fine. So you're saying it all the time and you love Raymond Domenech, and I'm so sorry I made this mistake.
All the time.
It could have happened to anybody, but really, what's the story?
the story is, of course, that he's been appointed the manager of Nantes, which is perfectly normal considering he hasn't coached a team in 10 years and he hasn't coached a club side since he left Lyon in 1993.
That's amazing. Mm. Brassel but brings him up on the ramble. He's back in the game. It's exactly, like appearing on the Keys and Grey show. Anyway.
But he is like a notorious kind of football brain, isn't he, Andy? There's absolutely, you know, no way this could go wrong, surely.
Absolutely. And he's been greeted in fine style, because after being appointed by the president of Nantes, Valdemar Keita, there was a big banner for the first day of Domenech training on the side of the training ground from very socially distanced Nantes ultras, which said, Keita Circus this way. And Raymond Domenech, as he arrived, was actually greeted by circus music.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's such orchestrated pettiness.
Do you know, what his response to that was? Sorry?
What's Keita Circus translator?
It's Keita's Circus. So it's Valdemar Keita who's the president.
Oh, I see.
So basically, Domenech's response to this was to say, I think me and the supporters need to get to know each other a bit better.
Yeah. I mean,
that's brilliant, isn't it?
Also, fair play to him putting a really positive spin on things, as he did when France got knocked out of the World Cup and he proposed to his girlfriend live on TV while she was hosting the very show he was
hosting. I thought we'd get through this without you mentioning.
No, not a chance. Not a chance. He said, what I've heard of teams in Brazil and Africa training to music, basically to whatever helps them bond.
It's
brilliant. Yeah, fair play. Like, just completely flat bat it. Ignore the fact that they're effectively calling you a clown and go with it.
I mean, for him, it would have been easier to compartmentalise it and say, actually, they're calling the president a clown and I am simply a symptom of that.
Yeah.
But he has chosen, as he often does, to take it quite personally and make it about him. And really, you'd be wanting to dodge the fire. But the thing is, when he had his first press conference, it was always going to be a bit tricky because the Estelle Denis thing, his girlfriend, that didn't come up because there was so much other stuff. If you think about it, when you've done loads of crazy shit and you've not been a coach for 10 years, people have got so much stuff to ask you and none of it is about Nantes. So he got asked about the star sign thing.
Yes.
About the players.
He doesn't like Scorpios, apparently.
Yeah.
Big Ray.
Bobby Pires came a bit of a cropper. And he also got asked about that. Now, this is really good. He got asked about the fact that when Claudio Ranieri came to join Nantes, he had to do a special audition in front of the coaches' union because
circus band.
That's right. Because he was over 60, and it's not a given that you're able to get a job in the French top flight.
All right.
When you're over 60,
when you've got a really driving test,
even though it's completely against your even though it's completely against European law and stuff, it's something that you know you have to, because you're not blocking the pathway for younger coaches. So Ranieri was a bit annoyed at having to do this, and now Domenech theoretically has got to do this because he's 68, although he is still the president of the players union.
Right.
So effectively, he's got to interview himself on the fact he should be allowed to take the job.
That's so weird that you have to go and have a little interview with him, of all people, to prove that you're competent. I think he should lean into the clown thing. Just like turn up to the next training
in like a big people carrier
and have the whole squad come out of it one by one.
It's not very COVID. That's not very C-word friendly.
True. Very, very true. I love it. It reminds me of the sort of the opposite of that, of how kind of aggressive it is. With the whole the music thing is this actually might be one of my other favourite things in football, aside from the Dominic thing, is how I think they've brought it back now as well, is how when Bayern score a goal at home, they play the can-can.
Yeah.
It's so disrespectful. I love it so much.
They're not the only German team to do that, but really? they've started doing it probably quite recently, about a year and a half ago. And the thing is, they play it for way too long as well.
Yeah.
Way too long. The game has almost always kicked off again and it's still playing.
But that's what I love
about
it.
What are you going to do about it? Are you going to score? I don't think so.
Of course you're not, because you are a joke to us. This is easy and it's so funny to us. We are just loving it. This is a party for us, not a sporting occasion.
What do you think's the most...
So good.
Do you think it's the most obnoxious goal music then? Because I know that's a... particularly, you know, sort of hot corner of hell.
Yeah.
But if you look at Paris Saint-Germain, I mean, I always thought it was something when they play Uptown Funk, when they score, that sucks. Yeah. It's just too modern. It's just too icky. It reinforces all those negative stereotypes that a lot of people have about PSG.
Yeah.
But the nadir of that was when Anthony Martial scored that equaliser for them in the Champions League this season. It's like, okay, you've been given a goal. It's only an equaliser. You're not even going in front. And you're playing Uptown Funk in an empty stadium to celebrate it. That was the worst for me.
What are your favourite obnoxious goal musics? That's a new one. Email in,
Popular Culture's Kate Mason.
shout@footballramble.com or tweet us @footballramble, because I can't, now you've mentioned Bayern Munich, I can't let us get off from this subject without talking about Thomas Müller's new career venture.
Yes.
It's only the subject we're getting off with.
We're nothing to do with this. And, you know, it's good that, I guess, footballers coming towards the later stages of their career should branch out into other avenues. In Thomas Müller's case, the avenue is launching a premium, I mean, I only have that on, I don't know what authority, but that's what I read, a premium range of horse semen. So the Bild headline is, Müller now wants to become a sperm millionaire, which confused me no end when I first read it. Mm. I feel like, because people have a lot of sperm, don't they, in the course of their lifetime, as I understand it. But anyway, side point. Yes, he and his wife, Lisa, so she, it's not as odd, it is as odd as it sounds. She is a dressage champion and they're on their stud farm and they're going to sell sperm.
They're now harvesting
horse sperm. Sorry,
horse sperm. Yeah, they're not harvesting human sperm for sale. Although if there's anyone that could do that, claim to be doing that with a straight face, I think it might be Thomas Müller.
It's how Bayern are going to produce their next great set of academy players.
Human horse hybrid. Now there's a can-can. Four legs.
Well, to keep up with Leon Goretzka, they're going to have to be pretty formidable, aren't they?
Munich's most massive man.
Yeah. When asked where he loves horses, why does he love them too well? Müller replied, they make me feel comfortable. The attitude and what they look like. And
the attitude? How can you tell what a horse's attitude
is? Well, he's very in tune with them, clearly. Yeah. And the way they take the way they live their lives. And his title in this venture is Managing Director of Carrots.
I love it.
That line is one up from Lewandowski, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's way better than that. It's way better than that. He should have opened with that in that press conference. He'd have brought the house down, I tell you. But yeah, people say that like modern footballers have too much money. I couldn't disagree more. Give them more money, because this is the sort of thing that happens. Neymar's got a club in his house in a continent he doesn't even live on. Mathieu Flamini is trying to save the world, which is obviously great. Thomas Müller is harvesting jizz. Like, it's...
Horse jizz.
Horse jizz. More of this. More of this, please.
Well, interesting. Customers should contact Thomas Muller, I guess. Apparently, that'll be three.
Yeah, tweet him.
Three horses to choose from.
Not show at footballramble.com.
Please not. No, no, it's at Jim Camel Tier 4. Four Roses and Beaumont, and the third horse called, well, it's spelled Davy, but apparently it's called Dave because he's a horse of the people. Mm. So, yeah, good luck to Thomas. And all the horses. What do you reckon a smutty horse mag looks like?
No idea. You're the horsiest of all of us, to be fair.
Do you mind? That is an absolutely scandalous claim. Tonight, there's some more football. Yes, there is Carabao Cup action. Spurs go up against Brentford. The game that Mourinho has labelled his biggest as Spurs manager. He added, it's not about me. It's not about me winning the League Cup at three clubs. Sorry.
Which is why I've put it in the sentence. Yeah.
Which is why I'm leading with it.
It's funny.
Which is why that's what I'm talking about.
It's not about me at all. It's about my club.
Are you excited about that?
So that's clear. Yeah, I'm excited to see whether Son gets rewarded with a farmyard animal for doing another goal.
Yeah, if anyone missed the show yesterday, Pete thought that...
Why did you get back in your room? Yeah. Stay in your room and listen to it.
Pete thought that when Sergei Reguilon was rewarded with a piglet recently, that it was a live piglet and not just some ham.
I thought the same.
I don't actually think that's that surprising. I'm with Pete and Andy on this.
Really?
Do you not think
this shows that we're victim of some sort of Stockholm syndrome with Pete?
Yes.
I think that really... proves that more than anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know. Would you describe it as a piglet when it's dead?
No, absolutely not.
To me, it would be some high spec ham or something.
Wait, no, it's still a lamb, isn't it? Even if it's dead, yummy lamb.
True. I think it depends on the yeah. But
do you call beef cow?
No.
Well, no. True. Some words have different. Andy, I think you're getting a bit granular.
I just love the idea that every time a player plays well for Spurs, like Jose, just gives them a farmyard animal. Mm. Imagine the state of Son and Kane's gardens if that was the case.
Can I be clear about Reguilon?
Got a zoo out here.
Is this his second pig-based gift, or is it his first?
He got given a
leg of ham.
So that's a separate animal.
We were talking about domestic accidents, weren't we?
Yes. Yeah. So, but is it the same? Is he just on the next bit of said animal?
No, because this is Portuguese. The first one was a Spanish leg of
ham.
Shit,
man. Right. So it's two different pigs.
Where did that come from? Shit, man.
Because I've been trying to work this out for absolutely days now. He's on two.
Yeah, he's got two legs of pig.
Goodness me.
But he won't be getting the New Zealand lamb anyway, will he? With his current behaviour.
He won't even be getting a start.
No, he can't. He can't. He's got to go and hide on the naughty step forever, I think. So that's the one tonight. Should be potentially a cracker. I don't know. Do you think it'll be a cracker?
No.
I think obviously there's a very good chance for Spurs to get into a final, though, and that's what Jose is here for, isn't it? It's to progress the club, and that's
well. Don't mention him. It's not about him winning the League Cup. It's just about
winning a cup and claiming it's more important than it is. That's what it's about. That's the Mourinho brand.
I actually think
that's the modern day Mourinho brand.
Point of order: it is important for Spurs.
Okay.
So,
if it's important to you, it's important to me.
Oh, thanks, mate. Is it important to you, Jim?
I hope you lose horribly and embarrassingly.
Well, something for all of us to look forward to tonight. Then tomorrow's show, it is Jules, Fish and Pete. We will continue to be with you distantly at the Football Ramble. Thanks so much for being distantly with us as well. Say bye, Andy.
Goodbye.
Say bye, Jim.
See ya.
Bye. See you next time.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.